From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Well, hey, welcome to a Thanksgiving episode of Beers with the Brewers. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Over the river and through the woods.
Yeah. Gobble, gobble to everyone. On the podcast this week, we're going to do a throwback Thursday to the anniversary party.
Anniversary celebration.
That's right.
It wasn't much of a party. Yeah,
it was a safely distanced gathering.
I thought it was still good. It was a great celebration.
It was fun, yeah. It was fun, but yeah, it probably didn't rise to the level of party, I guess. But that was a good thing on that day.
I cut off your introduction, Mark. I'm sorry. I'm going to cut you off again so you can finish your introduction.
Oh, boy.
Tell everyone who you are.
Well, I'm Mark Richards, as always, and also saying happy Thanksgiving to you this week. We've got one Adam Benner, El Presidente.
It's good to be back. I've missed a few weeks here and quarantining upstairs as we get ready for a very exciting Thanksgiving here in the Benner household of Lauren and I, having a nice, intimate, two-person Thanksgiving.
So. Oh, that's nice. Now, as president of Land Grant, will you be pardoning any turkeys this year?
That's a good one. I probably should. Maybe not a turkey, but maybe some of the beer that we were going to drink, and we'll save it for next year.
Yeah, well, you better bet your ass I'm not going to pardon that Ray Ray's turkey that I'm getting tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, sure.
Also here to say happy Thanksgiving to you is Walt Takeys.
Yeah, Mark, I bet you are thankful this year for the magic of post-recording editing technology.
Yeah, I'm just thankful for anything right now.
We've been playing pretty fast
literally,
with this recording
literally anything,
session
right?
So far.
Yeah, I'm thankful for anything. I mean, it's been such a weird year that, yeah, anything's coming my way, I'm thankful. Actually, I am not drinking a Land Grant beer today.
Look at that.
I had a cherry almond sour earlier before I left the brewery, which still my favorite sour or tart ale of the iteration.
I should have got some of that for tomorrow. That's all right. I got the cranberry cherry.
Man, you got it in your house. Drink it. It's so good. So
no, I don't. I got the cranberry cherry balloon hands, not to be confused with the cherry almond experimental. It's slightly different, but that cherry almond packs a nice sour punch that I'm pretty into.
Oh, sure. Well, I'm thankful for good neighbors because I had a surprise four-pack of Hoofhearted's Bone Zone sitting on my front porch when I came home.
Look at that.
Another reason to be happy for post-recording editing capabilities. Bone Zone, huh?
Well, that's what it's called. It's quite a creation on this can.
I can only imagine. knowing Hoofhearted and... translated the name Bone Zone to a Hoofhearted can. Yeah. I can imagine it is suggestive.
Actually, not at all. No, there's a lot of bones on there, like skeletons. If I didn't know any better, I would say the guy on a motorcycle holding a keytar may be a former member of 80s metal band Armor Saint. I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to look into
it. That's a deep cut right there.
Yeah, it's not so deep for us 80s metalheads. So,
Mark, did you see that picture I tagged you in Instagram the other day? Where I was walking by a dumpster and it said metal only.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. I liked it.
Thank you. That's where all the metal goes, right there in the trash.
Well, what are you fellas drinking this fine Thanksgiving morning?
Well, we're recording it on Thanksgiving Eve. So let's at least about 4 o'clock qualify that. Yeah.
Well, with the stay-at-home initiative, I mean, nobody's driving. If you want to have a beer in the morning, knock it out.
Yeah, I mean, on Thanksgiving morning, I most likely would have like a mimosa, I imagine. But I'd say right now, Thanksgiving Eve, I'm having an Osher from Land Grant Brewing Company.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm not throwing shade at anyone having a beer on Thanksgiving morning, but if I was to have a beer on Thanksgiving morning, I probably wouldn't choose the same beer that I'm currently drinking, which is a double exposure, double IPA.
Ooh.
I'd probably start out a little easier than that, but if I'm going to keep it on brand, I'd probably go with that Mr. Balloon Man's Cranberry Cherry. tomorrow morning. That'd be a good breakfast beer,
I think. Yeah, that's a good call. And I think with that double exposure, you could go big and stay home. That's a new slogan.
That's great.
The plan. Because as I look out the window right now, even with social distancing, I don't think I'm going for a walk or anything.
Yeah, Lauren has been doing a good job supporting some of the other local breweries. She wanted to head out to Gemute today to pick up some beer, wanted to see if I wanted to grab a beer with her, but I am not leaving the house today. It is too it's cold and gross outside.
It's ugly out there.
It's ugly out there,
mm-hmm.
as I would say. So I asked her, since we, you know, I have a couple hoppy offerings here at home, but as we're asking everyone, not just us, support all your local breweries out there.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely support us. Get some delivery and carry out, but we're getting some malty variations. I asked her to bring some malty beers home from Gemute. They've been around for probably a little over a year right now over in Old Town East, so
mm-hmm.
make some really good German-style beers, and they have a crawler machine, so that'll sit alongside some great Landgrant beer at our Thanksgiving table tomorrow.
They've got those cool gold crawlers, right?
They do.
Those are pretty sharp.
Yeah, I like Gemute a lot. Good lagers over there.
Speaking of other local stuff, too, Friday, Black Friday tomorrow, we're going to be launching the virtual holiday market, right?
Yeah.
So,
if you've been following along with this podcast or with us on social or whatever, you would have been aware that we were planning to host a big old holiday market at the Beer Garden with a bunch of local vendors, small businesses, and a curling rink and all this fun stuff. But as with most things this year, we kind of had to pump the brakes on that for this holiday season. But obviously, we had a lot of great vendors sign up, and we're really excited to host them and want to support them as best we can, however we can, this holiday season and beyond. So we put together a little virtual holiday market on the website. Obviously not quite the same as being able to shop around in person and have a beer and have fun and all that fun stuff. But if you're looking for gifts and you want to support some local folks in our community, head over to landgrantbrewing.com and the holiday market page in the sort of tap room drop-down menu there. Lots of links, lots of variety. For small businesses.
A lot of really cool stuff.
Yeah, there's crafts, there's food, there's clothes, all kinds of stuff, art, a lot of art. So however you want to do it, be sure to support your local small businesses in the coming months and beyond, but definitely the coming months are really important to support those small businesses.
Yeah, last week at the governor's press conference, instead of shutting everyone down, he recommended everyone do one thing per day to help out COVID-19. And while a lot of our listeners to the podcast, a lot of the fans of the brewery, they have been staying home. They have been, even when they come down to the brewery, they've been very responsible. I think the one thing that you can do is when you're shopping for your loved ones, your friends, your family this holiday season, as much as it's easy, as much as it's convenient, and as a deal shopper myself, don't go to Amazon, don't go to Best Buy, don't go to Walmart. Support your local vendors, whether it's, mm-hmm. like we said, your local breweries, your local artists, your local small businesses. These folks are not getting help. They're struggling out there. So, you know, this is an opportunity that we saw that we couldn't have the market in person, but we still wanted to be able to reach out to the people that like Landgrant beer and use our platform to help elevate. So definitely, as Walt said, this is, you know, shop local and really support, because we don't want a bunch of chain restaurants and crappy toys and gifts out there when there's a lot of really good people out there that mm-hmm. are making great things. So. Good. That's my soapbox.
That's a good soapbox. I mean, I'm planning on checking it out and also doing a little virtual local shopping on Friday myself.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't we?
Why wouldn't we?
Why wouldn't we?
I mean, it's your civic duty. I mean, at this point, I feel like so.
Yeah, and it's fun to buy cool stuff from around here. Well, hey, we've got a pretty cool bundle we just released. We had the Thanksgiving bundle where you got some pint glasses for free. Now we've got the Osher bundle.
It's an Osher holiday bundle.
It is an Osher holiday bundle.
Holiday bundle.
We got can-shaped pint glasses in that are Osher branded with the new Osher logo, as you see on the side of our IPA, and they are pretty cool.
Well, I'm excited to reminisce about that nice warm day and listen to the brewers. I know we launched the one that we all were on for the anniversary celebration, but I want to thank you guys for all the hard work that you both put in, the whole team at Land Grant. It's been a crazy year this mm-hmm. year, as everyone has said, but you know, our team has gone above and beyond time and time again, and I'm excited to see the other side of this, but we wouldn't have made it the first 6 years without everyone on this team and everyone listening out there. So I do appreciate it, and cheers as you all have your yeah. Thanksgiving. So I'll let
cheers,
you guys
cheers.
Go. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Thankful for everyone out there for supporting us, for supporting craft beer in general, and craft beer in Columbus, and thanks for listening to this podcast. It's fun to do every week, and it's. I'm thankful to have an outlet to talk to some folks that don't live in my house once a week and have a beer and feel a little bit normal. So yeah, cheers everyone, and I hope you have a good, safe Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm thankful for everybody. I'm thankful for you guys, and definitely thankful for neighbors that drop beer off randomly on my front porch. Can never go wrong with that. So without further ado, I think we should cut away, go back in time to a month ago when we were out in the beer garden talking to the brewers about all things going on in craft beer, and at least four of the six pack. Sadly, we had a little technical difficulty at the end of that recording and lost the last two beers, but
yeah, we won't point any fingers here, but there was some unplugging that happened by accident, and so we lost some of the recording here. I'm sure some real gold from Justin and the crew up there, but yeah, it was a nice talk, and it'll be fun to listen to it again.
From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, dude.
Just make sure to get a bunch of snow, like Oliver and Mike.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
Everybody, welcome to Beers with the Brewers on a Saturday evening. We got joining us tonight the three guys of four behind the beers of Land Grant Brewing Company that made these amazing six beers. Chris Helderman.
Hello.
Justin Reich. And down on the end, Dan Schaefer.
Ahoy.
What's going on, gentlemen? Thanks for joining tonight.
No problem.
How's everybody doing on beers out there? Got a fresh six? Does everybody have their samplers? Ready to roll on that?
Excellent, excellent.
So, guys, I think we're going to start with the Meat Sweats Smoked Lager tonight.
But this is Meat Sweats, which if anyone has been here to Land Grant and got some Ray Rays, you know that an option has been the Meat Sweats for a while. And that is a wonderful box full of ribs, brisket, pulled pork, jerk chicken, and a smoked sausage, I believe, with some pickled cabbage and, of course, some various barbecue sauces. All of their own design, and that is amazing. Eaten all at one time will, in fact, give you the meat sweats, and I highly recommend attempting that. This beer was kind of made in honor of that, and I'll let Dan Schaefer take it away on some of the ingredients, which were fun to do.
Yeah, so we took 50 pounds of Pilsner malt, our house Pils malt, and put it in a modified keg and attached a flexible dryer duct to the top of Ray Ray's smoker right over there. And they used the same wood that they normally do for smoking malt. Thank you, Mark. And we used an exhaust fan to pull the smoke through the keg out the top. Just had to wet down the malt a little bit so the smoke would stick. But that was basically it. And I did that for about 4 hours. And that malt ended up being about a third of the malt bill. So not huge. Like some smoke bills, smoked beers that they do in Germany, it'll be up to 100% of the beer. But we just wanted it to be sort of a kiss of smoke. Nothing that's going to knock you over. And so we ended up using that in the beer. Also, just a pinch of dry rub at the end of the boil, which you might get in there, maybe not. Yeah, it was a really fun beer to do. It's something we've been wanting to do for a while. A lot of the smoked beers that you might have will be malt that is smoked for them, usually in Germany, with beechwood. And I think that this has a very particular type of smoke to it that you're not going to find in another type of beer. I think that basically it smells like when we walk out the door and the Ray Ray smoker is going, that's exactly what it smells like. So I was really happy with how it turned out. If you're expecting something that's super smoky, and let's say you just have a barbecue, you probably just say, this just tastes like a lager. If you have an IPA right before it, though, you're going to be like, wow, this is a smoky beer. So it's very much dependent on where you're coming from.
Yeah, I tried one the other night, and I was actually on a podcast doing this same tasting, and I was tasting it and described it as, this tastes like I've been eating barbecue, and then I washed it down, and it's great, except I haven't had any barbecue yet, and so it was fantastic to be in my basement, quote-unquote, having Ray Rays and drinking a beer and not having to have Ray Rays.
Although it's always nice, too, when you have that option.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yeah, the sort of the inspiration for this beer is Schlenkerla Brewery in Germany does a smoked Helles, but there's no smoked malt in it. So every other beer that they produce uses smoked malt. So it just picks up smoke from the tanks and from the yeast that they use. There's no actual smoke in it. And we wanted something like that. It was a little bit more restrained, but still is a smoked beer.
Justin, you have any comments?
I like it.
There you go. He's the hype man. It's Justin Reich, the hype man of the brewery.
How crushable is it? Oh.
What do we think, guys?
The peanut gallery in the back says it's a four crusher.
I'm going to agree with them on that. I don't know whether we're doing it.
Oh, yeah,
or whether we're going table by table here, which I don't know that we have time for.
Oh, here it is. Everybody hold up fingers. 1 out of 6.
And we'll take a reading here.
I guess 0 to 6 if you really hate this beer. I
four
guess
is the right
four,
answer.
Four, 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 four.
Hey, there Lauren, it's four.
Oh, there's a three.
It's four.
Someone gave it a 3 and a 5. Never mind, we're back at 4.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, five, the crushability scale here on the Beards with the Brewers podcast is... If you had a six-pack, how many of those could you get through
and
without
that is,
wanting to switch to another beer?
Yeah, and that is, you know, you don't need to drive heavy machinery. You don't need to drive at all. You have a designated driver. You're in a safe environment. All of these things. I'm going to give this a six-crusher.
Ooh.
That's usually whoever speaks first wins when it comes to the crushability index, so I'm going to stick with a four.
I'm also going to go, I already said it, but I'm going to go four again. I think the one thing about smoked beers, after the first one, any sort of that smoke flavor kind of goes away, which is disheartening, in my opinion, because you're so accustomed to it. So I really like that big punch, and with this beer, it is very subtle, so it does kind of, after the whatever, first or second beer, it's kind of gone.
I would really like to see the Justin Disappointment Index on that beer number two.
It's a three.
No. On beer number four, yeah. It's a 7.
I'm really sorry. Usually this stuff all gets edited out. Yeah. You don't normally hear this type of stuff.
I do kind of take the podcast off the rails, so I apologize beforehand.
Well, right on. Well, while
you're
you guys,
stuck with me.
While you guys enjoy these beers, thought we'd kind of answer a few questions that we had from listeners. And the first one is, which I think is a really interesting question, being that Langren has been here 6 years now, how has craft beer changed in the last 6 years? And I think it's changed quite a bit.
I feel like we could go down the line and get our own perspective on things. But I'll steal the obvious one. This six pack, I think, kind of shows where craft beer is right now. 6 years ago, our six pack would have been nothing like this. Our six pack would have had Stiff Arm, Mutter, 1862 Ale, Greenskeeper, Glory, which you can still get, and maybe Goon. And most of those are far more bitter than any of these. And they're a little more West Coast, a little more classic styles. Whereas most everything in this six pack is, this is a kind of a wrong statement to say, but pushing the envelope of what beer is. But they're using a lot of non-traditional ingredients, not the big four, not all hops, malt, yeast, and water. And I think that's kind of where craft beer's gone, is not necessarily how ridiculous you... Well, some people take it as how ridiculous you can go. But I know we just try and, kind of make flavors or make beers taste like things that you're used to eating a bit more. And then, obviously, the hazy trend isn't going anywhere. So there's also that. Not having a crystal clear beer is okay, and actually more people prefer it, it seems, which is counterintuitive to everything I've ever learned about beer.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and agree with pretty much everything that Chris just said. I think adjunct-heavy beers have quickly become where the craft beer industry is going. People like beers that taste like desserts. They like beer that tastes like different food, whether it's smoked meat or a stack of pancakes. That's one of the cool things about craft beer, is that we do have the freedom to kind of play around with ingredients and do stuff like that. You're not going to see Budweiser putting out a beer like that in mass quantities. But yeah, then the hazy IPA category also is blowing up for sure. Craft lagers, though, I think that's a big thing that Chris did not touch upon, that whether or not they're going to blow up, I don't know, but I know that's kind of what I'm into right now. A lot of craft breweries kind of veering into that German lager game, super easy drinking lagers that are not Budweiser or Miller or anything.
Yeah,
luxury brand.
I'm thinking back to 5 years ago and just how cool it was when somebody had like a kettle soured beer, or you know, a Brett beer, or if they just had an imperial stout. And now somebody has that, it's like, yeah, but what's in it?
Oh, it didn't have marshmallow in it. Yeah, right, I don't want exactly. That.
Wait a second. That doesn't have some weird flavor. No, that's boring, brah. I don't want any part of that.
And I think it's we're getting to a point where beers are more ingredient driven as opposed to process driven. Although that's starting to change with what Justin was saying about the lagers. But you know, stuff is circular. I can definitely see things coming back around to. I can already see sort of hazy IPAs coming to a place that's more West Coast-ish. And I think that trend will probably continue.
What about seltzers?
This is a podcast about beer.
Oh, sorry.
Right on. No comment.
Who out there is ready for beer number two? Beer number two is going to be the always open Buckeye Donut Stoff's Coffee collaboration.
Oh, always open.
I don't get peanut butter or chocolate. It tastes like key lime.
Well, it's funny because I was like, that's an odd choice. Oh, wait a second. It was an odd choice because I was wrong. About the same thing.
How many people like Buckeye Donuts out there?
Yeah! Woo!
Right?
I can't hear you.
I also like Buckeye Donuts. That was it. I like them.
We can
that's
go down the line with that. Is
what happened? Oh, Dan doesn't like donuts. We pushed over his chair. That's what happened.
The way you looked at me, I thought it was some type of loyalty test.
It was.
So,
do you like donuts, Dan?
All right.
Dan, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about this collab?
Or maybe Justin.
I can do it.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Is that all right?
You're the man.
Yeah. All right.
Or A, man.
So I think with this is a beer I've kind of been playing around with in my mind for like 2-3 years now. And I kind of always had Buckeye Donuts in mind in the back of my head. Just because that was my college experience, which was
just eating donuts.
Just sitting in my room eating donuts. No, I would, like, my friends and I would generally imbibe on a Friday night. We'd be a little hungover, and Ohio State, or that local football team, sorry, like they say on the radio, would be playing the next day at noon. And we'd wake up at like 8 o'clock in the morning and be like, oh, crap, we're all hungover. What are we going to do? Well, hair of the dog always came first. And then it was making that trek down High Street to go to Buckeye Donuts to get a greasy breakfast sandwich, a coffee, and a couple of donuts, and then walking over to a tailgate. So I kind of took all of that and mashed it into a sessionable morning beer that quickly became Open Always. So yeah, it's got the chocolate, coffee, peanut butter. We actually threw a dozen of donuts in the mash because why the heck not? So the funny thing about that, the brewery actually smelled like a fryer afterward. So whether or not that was the right decision, I don't know. But
I think the beer something that we did.
We did do that.
Was that a baker's dozen?
It was not a baker's dozen. It was actually less than a dozen because our sales lead, Tony, who is not over here right now, could not refrain from eating one of them on the way to the brewery. So when they showed up, there were only 11 donuts in the box, which... He was like, oh, no, that's a full dozen. Like, 11's not a dozen. He's like, oh, no, it is. I'm like, okay, cool.
Hey, it's the old Tony dozen. Hey, it's a Tony dozen.
We made it work. If you guys think we need to add that extra donut in the mash on a bigger batch, if we ever do that in the future, let me know. Yeah, more donuts, more fun. That's what we say. Yeah, super light beer. Easy drinking, like I said, kind of a morning beer, where it's a little bit of a pick me up. So, those are my thoughts, and I'm sticking to it. We put the Buckeye Donuts in the mash, yeah. So, to kind of amplify that flavor, we actually put dehydrated peanut butter into the end of the boil, which is a mess to work with, by the way. I don't know whether there are any home brewers out there, but if you're trying to get peanut butter into your beer, it's very oily and it's very difficult to work with. So, I don't know. Something like... Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, yeah. And then there's just a tiny bit of Stoff's coffee in the background, too. Just like a hint of it to kind of amplify that roastiness. So, there you have it.
I seem to remember floating sprinkles.
Floating sprinkles?
I think I remember seeing floating sprinkles.
There were no sprinkles in the mash tun.
It's just my wistful memory.
Uh-huh. Well, that's our next Buckeye Donut collab is our...
you better trademark that name right now.
Floating sprinkles, our sprinkle donut beer.
Mmm.
Well, I guess we got to ask.
How crushable is it?
Got some twos, got a five, a four.
Yep.
That table in the back left has my heart.
Oh, I see some big fives out there. Is that limited only by
big old five?
Oh wow.
I see a six.
I think they were a three earlier.
Yeah, that is kind of funny how the crushability scale can start multiplying after a while.
Right. It's a sliding scale.
Yeah. So what do you guys think?
I'm gonna go with a solid four. Like Justin said, bit of a morning beer, which generally means a bit more sessionable, typically. And I think this has a flavor that just won't quit. So I say four.
I will agree. It's a four.
Four it is. See how that works?
Yep,
we did it.
Is.
Compromise,
we got a
everyone.
Unanimous four. So
everybody on board.
I just don't
it.
Have it in me to fight right now. I'm sorry.
Well, while we're drinking in the morning, obviously, talking about morning beers, we're going to move along to Mr. Stack's Blueberry Maple Porter. You got that cute little Mr. Stack's of pancakes on the label, which is awesome. Dan, I think another fulfilled request there on cartoon characters on beer labels for you.
Always appreciated.
Be nice to see a Saturday morning cartoon with all the characters off of these beer labels.
I will say any excuse we have to make a beer that Walt can make or Bonnie could make a goofy cartoon character out of, I am completely for it.
I think it's on the record as Dan Schaefer over there saying that he will not rest. He will not sleep for an instant until all of the beers have fun little characters on them.
That's correct. Yep. And then to follow that celebrity style death match between all the cartoon characters.
Oh, that would be amazing.
So we're going to end the podcast tonight talking about which character we think would win the death match.
Yes, that's
great. I think that'd be good for the last round. Yeah,
we can do that. He'd have a fight for sure, but
he could throw some weight around too. He looks like a pretty hefty fella. Although Mr. Stacks, I don't know what diameter pancakes those are. He could probably throw down too.
I don't think they're silver dollar pancakes. No. Those look like big old.
Those are like platter
flat
size.
Jacks.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess I'll go ahead and start this one out. Yep. This is a blueberry maple porter, brewed with blueberries and maple extract.
And maple syrup.
Syrup, yeah.
Oh, and syrup.
Both.
See, I didn't even know that. That's amazing. But yeah, the malt bill was designed to taste like pancake, and by golly, it does. I'm not saying it tastes exactly like pancake, but definitely reminds you of eating a pancake. I get a ton of blueberries up front, which makes me extremely happy. And the maple is not overpowering. It comes through on the back end, and it is quite enjoyable. This is my favorite beer out of the six-pack. I think this is awesome. This was who was the main brainchild on this guy, Patty?
This was Patrick, who is currently riding roller coasters at America's Roller Coast, Cedar Point.
Not yes. a sponsor.
Yes. Sorry, rock and roller.
Rock
coast.
And roller.
I apologize.
Coast.
Right on.
Yeah. So this was his brainchild, and I think he knocked it out of the park. I know he was pretty happy with how it turned out, and I'm as well. So kudos to Patty.
He very well could be watching this on Instagram Live as he's in line to ride Millennium Force.
Which you'll be in line for the first
3 hours. Still, 20 years later. So, Patrick, if you're watching, we miss you so much, and we wish you were here.
Absolutely.
I know he's getting that message just as he crests the peak going over the top, overlooking the lake.
Arm in arm with Mr. Stacks, I hope.
Here we go. We got some threes. We got some a four, a three, a two, a three, a four. I'm just going to say numbers, one through six, fives. Table full of ones.
We got an 18 over there?
They didn't have that many fingers. They took off their shoes. This was crazy. We're only on the third beer. Although this is my favorite beer, I'm going to say probably Three Crusher. It's got a lot of flavor. It's pretty light, but it's got a lot of flavor going on.
The table in the back left told me three, so I'm going to agree with them, and we'll do three. So thank you, guys.
Curry favor, also three.
It's a good call. Look at that. Unanimous today. A Three Crusher on Mr. Stacks. So if anybody out there in Instagram land wants to shoot any questions via Instagram, I'm watching, and we'll answer those. We already answered one earlier. I've got a question here, though, that what has it been like tuning up a brewery during COVID? I know that's affected a lot of things really since March and kind of, you know, one, we're all spaced out, as everybody can see, and that's one. But actually in the brewery, guys, how has that affected everything in the brewery?
I think the roller coaster metaphor is apt in this situation. Yeah.
Which roller coaster are we talking about?
Oh, definitely Millennium Force.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would. So I'm the brewery production manager. So full disclosure, I have not brewed any of these beers. I haven't brewed a beer in a while.
It's been a while.
Exactly.
No.
But these two fine gentlemen are back there in the thick of it every day. I've been in charge of the production schedule, and so with COVID, you know, basically everything shutting down, not really knowing what was going to happen, not knowing. I mean, we were deemed an essential business, which was kind of cool to know that beer is essential. I mean, I knew it was, but, you know, sometimes convincing politicians that such things are true is difficult. But yeah, we quit brewing for, I don't know, a couple, I don't know, 30, 45 days, something like that. We were just taking care of what was in the tanks, making sure we didn't lose any beers, which we didn't. Turns out all the beers, might have gotten better throughout that time. They had some time to kind of chill out and mellow to what they should be, which was kind of cool to see. You know, we didn't have a whole lot of work for some people, so we were doing a lot of work from home, a lot of working on standard operating procedures and coming up with the recipes, stuff like that. And I remember I talked with Justin the 2 day or on a Thursday, I think, and I was basically saying, like, hey, he was helping me take care of the beers that were in house, and kind of said, well, fella, I think tomorrow's our last day in the brewery for a while. And then Friday, the next day, I was fortunate enough to tell him, hey, guess what?
Never mind.
You're coming back on Monday, and we're starting to brew again. So that was very relieving to see that you know, the market needed the beer. The grocery stores, obviously, people are still buying beer at the grocery stores and everything. So that's really helped us through the whole situation. It's still what's helping us through. Obviously, the tap room, anyone who's been here the last 5 years has known it's been a pretty big blowout for this party. And, you know, we're 6 feet away from each other right now. So it's a wild change, but we've gotten through it. Like I said, the grocery store has helped us out. The rotating beers have helped us out a lot, as far as having a lot of different brands all the time. Sales and marketing has helped us out with some ideas, but the brew team has done an amazing job of coming up with the recipes to keep it fresh for everyone out there drinking Land Grant craft beer. So kudos to these fellas and Patty and Dan and our packaging
Thank
team
you.
For really really knocking it out of the park during these tough times. Definitely. I can't thank them enough. Land Grant has asked a ton of these guys throughout the past 6 months, and they have delivered on every aspect. So hell of a job to them. COVID positive. I don't think
no.
So. Not that I could legally say so if we did or we didn't. But
I'm not legally bound by anything.
You're talking positives from our COVID experience.
The positives.
So my positive, yeah. I got to make it through all of the Showa era Godzilla movies, which was an experience. But no.
So Mark here sitting to my right, he started out as a delivery driver for Land Grant.
I still get to do that every now and then.
He climbed up the ladder.
Thanks to Brian Annie.
And then thanks to COVID, he promptly dropped back down to delivery driver.
It's not bad. Yeah, it's not bad. It's the best gig in the world. So especially when I get to see people enjoying our beers and so happy to see us bring them to them.
There's a lot of fun sights to see around Columbus too on that drive.
Absolutely.
A lot of neighborhoods. Oh, a lot of apartment complexes.
Yeah, with sure. One particular program, we had a lot of apartment complex I didn't even know existed. So back to the beer, though. One thing, and smooth you guys pivot. Have really exuded in creativity, especially with a lot of really fun releases, all of which I have really enjoyed, and I think it's really engaged a lot of people. Has everybody enjoyed a lot of the new releases this summer? I mean, it's been great, and the creativity is just abound back in the brewery. You guys are killing it. I wanted to kind of go down the line on all of the beers that have come out since March. If everybody can pick, and maybe not one on this table because we'll pick favorites out of that later, but what has been your favorite full-scale release this summer and even a little bit this fall?
I'm going to think about that.
I'm going to say fresh. That's probably the beer that I'm most proud of us doing maybe ever. Tell us a story.
Oh, I hear there is a story about fresh. We've got a question from a listener
just
in the front row.
Just a random guy in the front row.
Might as well tell the story on fresh.
We probably should start with the guy that actually picked up the hops.
Yeah, So, fresh hop beers, for those of you who don't know, a fresh hop beer is a beer that the hops were harvested. I think the legal, and by legal I mean very loosely legal, definition is within 72 hours of harvest, they have to be in the beer. So, I think it's like 95% of hops in the U.S. come from the Pacific Northwest. So, you're either overnight shipping those, which for those of you who know anything about overnight shipping, no, it's not cheap. And so that gets real cost prohibitive real quick. That is how we used to do it. And it was what we could do at the time. So what we did is we would have a lot of pelletized hops, which are the normal hops we use. And then we kind of sprinkle in some fresh hops, and it made for a good beer, but it was not necessarily a fresh hop beer, but it was what we could do at the time. So we've been doing some good work with Michigan Hop Alliance. They grow some great hops up there. We've got some Michigan Chinook from them that has been fantastic. And we buy a decent amount of hops from them. And so in the process of contracting some hops and everything, I got to talking with Brian Tennis, who is the owner grower up there. And he basically said, yeah, we can do fresh hop beers, but I don't send hops anywhere, far away at all, because I want this to be the freshest product that anyone can get up there. He goes, for your integrity and my integrity, I don't ship these hops. And so it was kind of decided that if this was going to happen, I was going to drive up with a reefer truck on a Tuesday morning and drive back down Tuesday night for the brew on Wednesday. So that's what we did. Mark was nice enough to ride with me and keep me awake for a little bit. Unfortunately, we had to stop off in Ann Arbor for me to get a couple Z's.
Boo.
I know. Yeah. Without Ann Arbor, though, we would not have Fresh, which is one of the best beers. So, you got to be a
Dump
little
it.
Thankful.
We don't want it anymore, yeah. Now that we know that.
Well, I got to say, he says way up north, and man, it was way up north.
Yeah, if anyone has ever been to Traverse City, Michigan, it's north of there is where Michigan Hop Alliance is. So
keep going until you run out of land.
Yeah, pretty much keep going till you hit water, and that's where it is. So yeah, we just to show you how variable everything is in our world with these, with especially this beer, we were supposed to get 800 pounds of fresh hops from them. I'm driving up, I stop off at a gas station and I'm checking my messages, and Brian has emailed me and said, hey, just so you know, our picking equipment broke. We're getting parts overnighted, but we got the last two belts in the country to run our equipment, and so we won't be able to pick anymore. We have 650 pounds. Will this do? Keep in mind, I'm already 6 hours into my trip, and I said, sure, that'll do. And so we picked up 650 pounds pretty much spent, I think, 20 minutes at the hop farm. Got a quick tour. It was raining, of course, because welcome to Land Grant. And we hop back in the reefer truck, and which, by the way, a reefer truck is a refrigerated truck.
Not a cheap truck.
The joke's been made a lot. But yeah, the trip up there might or might not have involved some bacon.
Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah.
We might have had some blue and red flashings upon the way, but we made through everything.
I have not heard that story. You guys got pulled over?
I did get pulled over. Yeah. Apparently there's a lot of paperwork you need to do before you do things like this, and I was very ignorant on that fact.
Oh.
And, so we luckily, nothing happened, and we didn't have to get turned around, but the officer more than had that capability to say, you need to go home now, and then we wouldn't have had any more hops.
And you said, okay, sir.
And I said, okay, sir. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it, sir.
Hey, we got a question from a listener at Table 11 that would actually want to know, why wouldn't you have just gone to Toledo instead of Ann Arbor? That's what Woody would have done.
Amen.
Go Bucks.
Boiler up?
Chris went to Purdue.
Yeah, I'm a Purdue grad.
He's a Boilermaker. Thankfully, since he was driving.
It is a Land Grant school. I've been to two Land Grant schools. Adam always jokes that's the only reason I'm still here. Michigan is not a Land Grant school. Michigan State is, so we're okay there. But yeah, anyway, so we made it back down, and it was actually kind of cool that we missed out on those extra 150 pounds of hops. Because what we got to do was we got to take those extra 150 pounds that we were going to put in there as fresh hops, and they were actually pelletized that Wednesday, and then they shipped them down to us. So that is a cool new product we've never used before, is ridiculously fresh pelletized hops. So we showed up, I think it was around 8 a.m. or something like that.
It was early.
And pulled up right back there. They offloaded the hops. I went and returned the truck, and they threw them in the mash tun, which we were using as a hop back. And that's where I'll leave it, because I went home and took a nap.
Yeah, it was a long brew day, but it was super, super fun to be able to brew that. So
It's just the getting back to the original comment. The reason why I was so proud of this beer was because I think literally everyone in the brewery was in some way involved in the production of this beer. And the packaging team, beyond actually putting it in cans, came back and helped us put the hops in the mash tun, because we were scrambling to throw them all in there, like a basket full at a time, so that we could knock out on top of them. But, you know, I love that whenever we have to work with a new ingredient or change our process, we did all of that on this beer. All of the weird things that we would have to change up in a single brew, we did it all here. The artwork is fantastic. The beer tastes amazing. I love that beer. I've drank way too much of that beer, and I will continue to.
And also, another cool thing about that beer, I know we've gone on about this one specific beer that's not even in front of you right now, so we apologize for that.
You should order one on the landgrant.app.
Sure, we have that available. But Chinook is generally like a very like really piney kind of dank hop. And when we ended up getting it from
so dank.
When we got it from Michigan, it's almost wine like. It's got like this super like white wine characteristic to it that you don't normally get out of the Pacific Northwest.
I think it's kind of like a melon Chardonnay type character.
Yeah. Which I was definitely not anticipating when we brewed it, and then tasting it the first day kind of blew my mind a little bit. So, I don't know. I also really enjoy that beer.
Kind of going along with what Dan said about everybody coming together, these beers that are a lot of work, a lot of trouble, and you're going through it, and you're like, God, this better be worth it. And this was one of them. It was worth it. The only other time I felt what I felt on this beer is Batch 300.
Yep.
I know Justin can attest to that as well. He was here at, I think, 3 a.m. When we were brewing that beer.
I got some, I still remember, I got some late night Arby's that evening from Adam and Lauren, who came in to thank me for being there so late. And that is still one of my favorite beers that we've ever done, because the roast beef sandwich and the Jamocha shake that I received for brewing it.
That actually fell in the kettle. No, I'm just
which is a cool thing about that beer, is that we dry roast beef it. No. We don't actually put roast beef in any of our beers. Sorry.
Yet.
Yet. Yet.
No, but it's just really cool to see the sacrifice that goes into some of these beers, and when they actually turn out and are quote-unquote worth the sacrifice, it's very rewarding, and so thanks, Brew Team.
Yeah, absolutely. Big hand for the Brew Team here, guys. So now that we're talking about hops, we're going to move on to another hop. This is a single hop beer.
Oh.
Galaxy Hop single hop, double dry hop, double IPA, Galaxy Brain.
That's the fun of it.
So dang. So dang.
So now there's inherent bias going into this tasting.
Well, there is, but you know, when Adam requests a so dank sound plug, he gets it.
Thank you, sir.
How's everybody doing on these beers out there? All right, all right. So Galaxy hops aren't the easiest ones to get.
So that was a fun morning. So a couple, it's been like 2 years ago, I have sent notifications to myself from a specific hop broker website that whenever Galaxy hops are available to purchase, I get an email. But the price is normally like $40 a pound or something like that. Which,
for those of you who don't know, hops are generally $9 to $12 a pound is a pretty standard price for hops.
So it's like four times as much of like the normal hop cost. And this is a hop that we've used in the past. We used to have it contracted. What was it? Gravity Wave, I think, was the last big beer that we did with this, which is still one of my favorite beers.
Yep.
Black IPA. And we, I got a notification one morning that Galaxy was on sale for, I think it was like $24 or something, and I like immediately was texting everyone just like, oh my god, Galaxy's on sale, we need to buy this right now, like I don't even care, like we're going to brew a beer eventually with this. So we ended up getting the okay, we bought it, and the idea initially was, let's brew a single hop hazy with Galaxy just to kind of test how the hop reacts. If it didn't react, like if it didn't turn out well, obviously we would not be giving it to you right now. But I think we were all very impressed with this crop of Galaxy. I think it's a super tasty beer. As El Jefe Man in Charge in front yelled, it's so dank. It is very dank, but it's also incredibly tropical. It's got a lot of citrus flavors to it.
Peaches.
Yep. Peach as well.
Passion fruit. There's pineapple in there, too.
But it's a really tasty beer that was brewed just to let that hop shine. And I'm interested in hearing what you all think of it.
I'm going to say this, that purchase made me the most nervous out of a lot of purchases we've ever done. Because Galaxy can run the gamut on flavors you can get out of it.
Yep.
One of the most prevalent flavors is known in the wine world as catty, cat pee, which
also diesel.
That's also fun. Diesel, yes.
So also let us know if you guys taste diesel or cat pee in this, and we'll throw all of those ops away.
But yeah,
we're
so,
not picking up on it, but.
So if it's you know, if you get something that's you know, 50% discounted, you often wonder about that, and I was very nervous about this beer, but it turns out we actually did get a good lot, and I'm super excited, and I don't get any of those flavors out of it, and I was very, very happy. But that was definitely a puckering moment when I heard that we got all these hops in at a great price. I was like, oh, God, I hope this works out.
It's a great deal. You're not going to regret it at all. It's going to be great.
All right. Well, I think we all want to know up here.
How crushable is it?
I kind of wanted to hear Justin do that in a Cartman voice there for a second.
I was trying, and then you hit the button finally.
Maybe next time, you
so
know.
So close.
All right, we got some ones, fives, threes. Justin's table in the back. I think we've got a one and a three, so that's a two.
You got two.
A four, yeah. Guy's giving us a ten out of six.
Oh.
I don't know what that means. three. Maybe you should have had one less.
It's
maybe
a fraction. A fraction. It's 10-6.
10-6. Still, so it's...
It's five-thirds. Math.
All right, what about you guys?
Also,
Dan,
15-ninths for going that route.
I'm going to say two, but I feel like if I finish that second one, my my girlfriend might be giving me a begrudging stare. She will not be happy with me drinking another Imperial IPA.
This is an 8.7. Could get rough.
It can get a little rough.
I'm gonna say three.
Fair enough.
I don't feel the need to justify it. Just three.
I'm gonna go with a twofer on this one.
Yep. Always crush responsibly. I'm gonna join Dan on a three. I won't leave him hanging.
Good man.
Yeah.
So that puts us at a 2.5. Correct.
Absolutely. So
look at the math on this crew up here. We're good.
While we're having this next beer, I'd like to open it up. If anybody out in the audience tonight in person has any questions for the brewers on this particular beer or any of the beers going down on Land Grant. Okay. And as you conjure up a question, Walt's going to reset the Instagram live. So,
well, hey, guys, have a happy Thanksgiving. And listeners as well.
Yeah. Cheers, everybody.
Hey, guys, have a good Thanksgiving.
Oh, apparently there's an hour limit on Instagram live feeds.
That's right.
So we're going to start all over again. And
Oh, bam, bam, boy.
Yep. So Instagrammers, we'll be right back with you.
We've been here for an hour. It feels only like...